Hi, this is Doug Wheeler. Welcome back to From the Belly. You've probably noticed by now that we've taken a few weeks off. We're doing some new exciting things, and so we're taking a break to get ready to launch the third season of From the Belly. We'll be bringing in new guests while inviting back old ones in a slightly new format. I wanted to bring you up to speed on that, and I also wanted to just share in this interim time an insight from my work on the story of Jonah that I thought would be hopefully helpful to you. It's really been helpful for me in thinking about my life and the way I approach my life and the decisions that I make. It's been a long process, but I've learned a lot by attempting to write a book. So we're in the final editing process, and we're shopping for an agent, and we'll be shopping around, of course, with their assistance, trying to get some publishers interested, and we'll take it from there. So I'm looking forward to when we actually get to release it. One of the ways that I approached the book was through songs. While I was reading the book back in 2016, the book of Jonah, that is, in the Bible, and thinking about doing some kind of writing about it, I would hear different songs that really resonated with me about what I was experiencing about Jonah in the story. And we've come up actually with 10 songs that I've gotten the rights to reprint. And so in the book, there'll be excerpts of these 10 songs that introduce each section. There was a handful of songs that I was unable to get copyright for or permission granted to reprint. And one of those was Jackson Browne's song, The Pretender. And I just wanted to share a little bit of insight into how that story is. That song actually was very pivotal in helping me interpret some of the things about the story and what I was getting from it. First chapter, first verse says, "When the Lord's command to Jonah, the son of Amittai, was, set out for Nineveh, that large city, and declare doom upon it. The wickedness of its citizens is obvious to me." And if you know the story at all, you know, Jonah does not obey this command. He actually runs in the opposite direction. And some pretty problematic things occur because of that running. And in chapter 3, so we're halfway through the book, in chapter 3, verse 1, there's a recommand, and it reads this: "When once more the Lord's command to Jonah was, set out for Nineveh, that large city, and report to it the message I tell you." And what stood out to me, it just really jumped off the page and took me into a deeper understanding of what I was gleaning from the story, is when Jonah is announced in that first verse, he's announced by way of not only his name, but his father's name. And so he's attached to his father's name, or it's attached to him. And in that second calling, or that recommand, it simply just says Jonah, no longer the son of Amittai. And I don't know if that was an intentional literary device that was placed there to make a differentiation between the first half of the story and the second half of the story, but I saw it as that. And what I began to see, and it just was building on some other insights that I'd already put together, is that there was this transformation that was occurring within Jonah that was extremely painful, but very personal. And so it's a story underneath the command. The story is often read, or most often read, in its literal form of he runs because of the command. And I think that that's clearly a fair interpretation. But I began to reimagine that Jonah was running from something else other than the command. There was a lot of baggage attached at that time in his life. And I was assuming that there were other times that Jonah had heeded the call to do this or to do that. A calling from, as the story says, from God, which easily could have been in his younger life, something that his father had asked him to do or commanded him to do, or his mother had asked him, or other authority figures. It reads in the story as he hears it from God. And so I see the first section of the book as a very legitimate reason to run, because Jonah is not just about what is this conventional method of reading the story as disobedience, but he was obeying something inside of himself to be truer to himself and to shed a lot of baggage that had been attached to him. So when I read that chapter 3, verse 1, and I'd read it many times before, but that morning of reading it, I just saw it so clear that he's no longer attached to his dad. Something has shifted inside of him. And so when he goes ahead and obeys the command in that second calling, I actually saw it as a regression. I saw it as he had started some kind of transformational movement within himself in the first two chapters that was not without a lot of significant trauma and suffering. And I think that fits that many times when we are trying to change the way we see ourselves and the way we see the world, i.e. the way people end up seeing us, that it's extremely difficult, problematic, and often painful for us to make these internal changes that, of course, many times impact how we behave in the world. And we see this in Jonah. It was very costly to him. And so when he gets this recommand in chapter 3, verse 1, no longer attached to the baggage of his past, because I began to put together that he had moved far away from that. And so he was, in my mind, freer than ever to say no to the second command. But he says yes. And my sense of reading it is that it's a very quick, impulsive yes. And it then says in verse three or four in that chapter 3, is that he moves very quickly into the center of the city of Nineveh. I mean, he's swift on his feet in obedience. One could interpret that is he's finally come around to obeying what he should have done the first time. I saw that as regression, and that is, it was an impulsive move, him relying on old ways that others had defined him and he had come to define himself. And this is where the song that I was not able to get the copyright and permission to be able to reprint some of the lyrics. And that is Jackson Brown's song, The Pretender. Now, I've loved that song. I'm a big Jackson Brown fan, and I loved that song for a long time. But there was one day when I heard that song, and I was thinking about this regression. I was thinking about Jonah falling back on something that was more comfortable for him to live into than a new identity going forward. And he says yes to this command, I believe, out of a sense of guilt. I'm sure some kind of voices of internal shame that he was obeying. And he just wasn't ready to go further. And so I didn't judge Jonah, but I did see it as a regression that would be costly. Because he's pretending. He's pretending to be something that I saw in chapters 1 and 2 that he was moving away from, and now he's fallen prey to. Now, if you were like me, you many times have pretended to be something because of other people's acceptance, because of acceptance of yourself, because it was just too problematic. It was too challenging. It felt too courageous for you to be a different way in your own skin and to possibly talk different. It might even be learning to say no because you've been a person that has said yes so many times. And many times it's not just about, hey, I'm going to learn to say no. You understand the depth of the reasons of why it's been so difficult to say no. And that takes a lot of work, inner work, to undo all of that kind of, again, baggage that's been attached to that. Because that's how you've identified in the world. And maybe that's the way you've gotten love and acceptance, because you have said yes so many times. And so that's what I see happening within Jonah. Jonah says yes this time, as opposed to staying with a resolute no. And it's costly for him of where it moves him into chapters 3 and 4. But the transformation that he had made in chapters 1 and 2 was still intact. It was still in place. He hadn't lost all the things that he had gained from the growth that had happened for him. But he did regress. And so it was disappointing for me when I was unable to get the rights to be able to reprint just certain lyrics out of The Pretender. But I wanted to read a few of the lyrics that I would have put in the book if I had gotten permission. I'm really happy with the 10 songs that we do have. And I'm not going to be sharing those today. I think I've shared a few of those in the past, but it's a really, really cool lineup. And I actually many times will read the story of Jonah while one of those songs is playing. And those songs are built in this consecutive order of the way Jonah moves through his own story of chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4, the way it's written in the Bible. So The Pretender, the song opens up with, "I'm going to rent myself a house in the shade of the freeway. I'm going to pack my lunch in the morning and go to work each day. And when the evening rolls around, I'll go on home and lay my body down. And when the morning light comes streaming in, I'll get up and I'll do it again. Amen. Say it again. Amen." As the song goes on, some of the reasons why, you get a sense of some of the reasons why this individual is saying yes and the cost factor involved in that. But it's all under the title of a pretending to be something, to stay with the status quo. And even this, I'm going to rent myself a house, I'm going to be in the shade of the freeway, I'm going to pack my lunch in the morning. It's a life that it's without excitement. It's without challenge. It's become deeply boring. And boring can really breed a lot of dysfunction in a person's life. It can also be very painful to be stuck in that experience of day after day after day. And even as he says, if the evening rolls around, I'll go on home and lay my body down. And when the morning light comes streaming in, I'll essentially get up and do it again. And so you can begin to hear the exhaustion within this individual. And then the song ends with asking a question. I don't know if it's to the pretender or if it's actually to the audience that is witnessing this individual pretending in the world. It's the question is, are you there? Say a prayer for the pretender who started out so young and strong, only to surrender. That really resonated with me because there's compassion and empathy. It's costly for the pretender to live this way, but the caring voice, the empathetic voice, the compassionate voice, does not judge the pretender, but possibly sees the same type of pretending behavior in themselves, but they also are able to see that it's costly to the pretender. And then it ends with, say a prayer for the pretender. Are you there for the pretender? Say a prayer for the pretender. Are you there for the pretender? And then actually the last sentence is, are you prepared for the pretender? Which I think is a very interesting way to end that song. And again, is he asking the pretender? Is he asking those surrounding the pretender, or maybe all the above? But are you prepared for the pretender? Again, all of this just supported this really significant empathy and care. And I dare say love that I felt for the individual Jonah, trapped in his own story. The beautiful thing is that as problematic as chapter 3 and chapter 4 are, that there's a sense at the end of the story that there's a potential future for Jonah. He doesn't find it in the story. There's not much indication that Jonah is ever going to recover. You might even get the sense that he's just going to contend this repetitive behavior of pretending. But also, he's exhausted and he's hit rock bottom. And it's at that place that you wonder if he renegotiates things and moves into what we will deem as chapter 5. And that's kind of the way we've written the book, is that we've reimagined Jonah's life and then taken where his story would go if there were a chapter 5, in a chapter 6, in a chapter 7. Well, thanks for being here today. I really appreciate it. It's good to be back, and just to let you know that again that we are reformatting things, and we're going to come back strong and bringing some new voices in, having some individual interviews, and doing some roundtable discussions that I'll facilitate. So I'm really excited about it. In the meantime, bless you, and may you find peace in your life.